Good morning. In the 2007 novel, The Yiddish Policeman's Union, Michael Chabon imagines an extraordinary what-if scenario. What if, at the beginning of the Second World War, the U.S. government had moved forward with a plan to resettle Jewish refugees in Alaska, of all places? What if, in other words, Jewish people had been able to leave Europe before the worst that was yet to come? What if they had put down roots in the northernmost point of the USA? This is a remarkable what if, and yet it's not a perfect world. Losses still abound in this revised history. The novel takes place in the present day. Jewish people remain dispersed throughout the world. The refugees that put down roots in Sitka, Alaska, have been there for well over 60 years. To complicate matters even further, the novel is actually a detective mystery. Meyer Landsman, a homicide detective in Sitka's police department, investigates the mysterious death of one Mendel Spillman in a rundown hotel. In the early chapters of the book, the reader finds out that the young Mendel Spillman happens to be the person who many believe to be their generation's potential messiah. Are you intrigued just yet? Now, I'm not going to ruin the rest of the novel for you. You'll have to read it for yourself. In this alternate reality, the Jewish people remain a remnant, though. Refugees pushed to and fro by the powers that be. They still hope for their day of redemption, for their messiah, the promise of healing and restoration that stands ever just out of reach. I couldn't help but think of this fictional Alaskan remnant and their hopes for a messiah when I read the passage from Jeremiah today. And then the Lord said, I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to the fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing. Jeremiah knows the power of a what if, the power of imagining a better world, a place that has yet to be. The context for Jeremiah's pronouncements, of course, is a cataclysmic event in the lives of the people called Israel, the experience of exile in Babylon during the late 6th century BC. The people had lost their physical and spiritual moorings, sent to a distant land against their will. And Jeremiah speaks a word of hope to them, a word about the Lord who stands beside them in their grief, a word about the God who would not forget God's people. But these people have had their fair share of what ifs. They know the fleeting allure, the fleeting nature of make-believe. Just what sets Jeremiah's pronouncements apart? Is this word of hope a baseless claim, or is it rooted in something more? One of my favorite writers, Ursula Le Guin, gave a lecture once about the difference between imagination and wishful thinking. Allow me to quote her at length here, because I think it will help us understand what's behind Jeremiah's vision today. Wishful thinking, she writes, is thinking cut loose from reality, a self-indulgence that is often merely childish, sometimes dangerous. Imagination, however, even in its wildest flights, is not detached from reality. Imagination acknowledges reality, starts from it, and returns to enrich it. Let me read that for you again. Wishful thinking is thinking cut loose from reality. Imagination, even in its wildest flights, is not detached from reality. It acknowledges it, starts from it, and returns to enrich it. Le Guin is talking about writing, but she might as well be talking about Old Testament prophets. A common mistake we make when we hear the word prophet is to imagine a person that predicts the future. What the prophets in Scripture do instead is to interpret the present. They unveil the truth of the matter, and they use that to paint a picture to imagine where we might go from here. That is what is taking place in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is firmly rooted in the present. Elsewhere in this book, in chapter 29, he writes to the exiles in Babylon and makes their situation plain. Build houses and live in them, he says to them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there. Do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city to which I have sent you, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Jeremiah knows that the people of Israel need to make a life for themselves here and now. And yet that picture is fed by the memory of a God who faced down Pharaoh and freed the Israelites from captivity, a God who made of a couple of nomads, Abraham and Sarah, a great nation, a God who creates, a God who loves, a God who liberates. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This is the work of a theological imagination, not mere wishful thinking. This is the prophet at their best, looking back and looking forward, all in order to bring a genuine word of hope to the present. Last week, I had the pleasure of catching up with an old friend. Her name is Melissa. She is the first priest I ever met at the first Episcopal church I ever attended, St. Paul's in Lower Queen Anne, just north of downtown Seattle. I met her at a time in my life when I wasn't sure about the whole church thing. I hadn't gone to church in a while, so I decided to go early one Sunday, thinking that going to the 8 a.m. service would be a little less conspicuous than showing up to a regular service. Boy, was I wrong. I stood out like a sore thumb among the dozen or so people sitting in the church that day. That early crowd is the faithful early bird remnant everywhere you go. Few in number, but nothing if not consistent. But I kept coming back. I wasn't sure why. I kept sitting in the back pew, sneaking in at the very beginning of the service and sneaking out quickly thereafter. Melissa noticed me, of course, it was obvious, welcomed me even, but she gave me a lot of room, and the church community there did the same. And last Wednesday when we caught up over Zoom, I told her just how important that time was for me, that time of sitting in the back pew, sorting out my faith, figuring out how I fit into church again. She simply said, "Some days I wished we had 20 back pews for people like you." Isn't that lovely? Ah, man. I so needed that space to be close, but not too close. And from the pulpit way at the front of the church, I heard Melissa speak about hope Sunday after Sunday. A hope I desperately needed as a young 20-something with a job in social services that was nothing if not overwhelming sometimes. A hope that anchored me when I felt adrift and rudderless. A hope that spoke to me about possibilities I hadn't even begun to dream of just yet. And one day, I showed up at church fresh off of a cross-country flight. I had been checking out graduate schools on the East Coast, and I had just visited a little college town I knew next to nothing about, Durham, North Carolina. And Melissa preached a sermon that day that, for some reason I can't quite remember or describe, confirmed for me that I was ready to start a new life 3,000 miles away. That day was the Feast of Christ the King, 13 years ago, the end of the church year, just like today, and the beginning of a new chapter for me. And if you walk down the hall to my office here, you will find pinned to the tack board behind my desk the service bulletin from St. Paul, Seattle on that day, the Feast of Christ the King in 2009. That road led me to grad school and to work in the church and eventually in fits and starts to the priesthood. right here at this St. Paul's. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Friends, God is ready to gather the remnants of your life. God is always ready to help you hope anew. The question for you today and always is, are you ready to receive that word? Let us close this year in hope and imagine what God can do with a faithful few. Amen.